Okay, friends, here we are again. We're beginning Blessed One's webinar commentaries number 4. And I delayed getting into the actual stanzas until now. But we will see how long it takes to do the different stanzas. They are deep. And the rest of, or several programs now will be spent in looking at these stanzas. And I'll read them through first. I did read Ray 1 stanza earlier, but I think it could stand repetition. Ray 1. The Blessed One flies like an arrow into matter. He destroys or ruptures the way by which he might return. He grounds himself deeply in the depths of form. He asserts, "My power is great. I will destroy all obstacles. Nothing can stop my progress to my goal. Around me lies that which I have destroyed. What must I do?" The answer comes, "Order from chaos, O pilgrim on the way of death. This is the way for you. Love you must learn. Dynamic will you have. The right use of destruction for the furtherance of the plan must be the way for you. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet will release the hidden Blessed One and order bring." So let's take this step by step. The Blessed One, who is the monad in extension, sometimes called the Jiva, flies like an arrow into matter. Well, where does matter begin? We might say matter begins within the dense physical body of the solar logos, on the higher mental plane. The central fire, the jewel, goes forth from the monad on its own plane, which remains on its own plane, and descends through the spheres. Now, already the monad has appropriated to itself 3 atoms of the higher planes in the 5 lower worlds, an atmic atom, which it makes permanent, a Buddhic atom, which it makes permanent, and a monastic atom, which it makes permanent. Each one of these atoms being found on the atomic plane of the particular plane concern. So now there is the descent into the region of the causal body, forming a central nucleus around which the solar angels can build. But there has also been an appropriation of lower atoms, a physical permanent atom, a astral permanent atom, and of course the mental unit which has arisen within the mind of animal man, as DK says, as instinct approximates mentality. So this first ray monadic power will affect everything that the soul on its own plane does. When he flies like an arrow into matter, we can immediately visualize the symbol for the planet, or of the planet Vulcan, which is, from one perspective, the downward pointing arrow. And it is effectively the first ray planet at this time, although I suspect that its monadic ray is not the first. I suspect that its soul ray is the first. So when the soul generates a personality, it still has behind it this powerful monadic thrust. And destruction can occur on all levels. The way by which he might return to his monadic origin is ruptured. He breaks as he descends. There is not an easy building of form for return. And since Vulcan is a very physical planet in some respects and relates to the mineral kingdom, we find this monadic type working through its subsidiary vehicle, the egoic lotus, grounding itself deeply within the cosmic dense levels of the cosmic physical plane, that is the dense physical body of the solar and planetary logos. So the usual bonds of magnetism which hold things together are destroyed by this descent into the lower worlds. And he begins his adventure in these lower worlds, especially on the systemic physical plane, where in a way all incarnations begin, at least the earlier phases of incarnation and the earlier lives. They work on the systemic physical etheric plane. And it will be a long time before he reorients and realizes that he must return. He has the way of destroying form rather than building the bridge of return. So he is deeply immersed, and we think of Capricorn II as a kind of diamond shape, you know. I'll do it this way. The lower part of it is Vulcanian, and Vulcan is connected with Capricorn as well in the last decanate. So this is indeed the earthbound soul. We find that the Manu does work at the preparation of the form. The Manu, the first ray is the ray of abstraction, but also of extreme concretion. And the Manu works at preparing the racial form and works in the material element. So now we have the earthbound soul. He is rooted in the depths of form. He has ruptured various bridges by which it might be easy for him to return to his monadic nature in a natural way. He'll have to rebuild all of that. Fortunately, Vulcan is a planet of building as well as of destroying. The hammer can be used destructively, but it can also be used selectively and constructively to bind things together. And when we think of Vulcan, we also think of the fourth ray of beauty and the second ray connected with the heart of the sun. Okay, so this little paragraph tells the whole story of the beginning of incarnation. We don't know the manner in which the monad descends, but we do know that he has appropriated three permanent atoms on the triadal levels and is holding them in readiness as the core of vehicles to be developed. But then when the time, and this is long before individualization that occurs during the second outpouring altogether. It's long before individualization. The monad is hovering above the five worlds. But then he does descend directly, and I think the diagram number 8, or chart number 8, shows us that. There's a direct line from the monad into the dense physical body of the solar logos, which includes the higher three subplanes of the mental plane. Now, let's look at this, and as I say, you see this line is direct, even though before that time, the monad in its different aspects appropriated these permanent atoms and held them while, I suppose, it was undergoing what we would call in mineralization, in vegetalization, and in zoonation within the lower three kingdoms. Then these, the triads, would be used when the stage of man had been reached. So now we have the awakening man. The whole beginning period of human history is covered by this first paragraph, and also a kind of reorientation, because he has to want to return. We might say, I will return. We might say, the prodigal son is awakening. So we haven't been concerned about how this reorientation takes place, simply that it does take place. I will return, I, the monad in extension, the monad in attenuation, the jiva, the extension of monadic consciousness as it finds its expression or its place in the dense physical body of man, and the emotional body, and the mental body, at some point awakens to the higher of the pairs of opposites first, and also, in doing that, to its actual origin, the monad on its own plane. I will return. I will. There's will. My power is great. There's power. Will and power. I will destroy all obstacles. There's will and destruction together. These are characteristics of the first ray monad. And you wonder whether this this awakening doesn't occur rather later in the process, you know, when one is already on the path and envisioning the monad of origin as the source of destiny. In other words, one begins to say, okay, I will re-identify with my monadic nature. I will destroy all obstacles, just as I destroyed cohesion. In my descent, I destroyed cohesion, you see, the way by which he might return. In his descent, he destroyed cohesion. And he anchors himself, and we might say this is a condition almost a condition of rigidity. And it takes a long time and much experience before he looks up and sees where he has come from. The prodigal son said, even a servant in my father's house is treated better than I am now treated, and has more than I have. So there is this reorientation, and obviously by the time you get to paragraph 2, the reorientation has taken place. So millions of years are covered in this first paragraph. I will return, my power is great, regardless of what my soul ray may be, because essentially I am a monad of power, at least in a secondary sense. I'm not now talking about what I consider to be the released monad on the logoic plane, the released volatile essence once the monadic vehicle has been destroyed. I will destroy all obstacles. Nothing can stop my progress to my goal. And this is the great characteristic of those for whom the characteristic type of motion is progress onward and driving forward through space. Driving forward through space. This is the type of motion of the first ray. This is interesting because the first ray type has to awaken to that which he has destroyed when he was manifesting purely as a personality. He destroyed much when he was expressing only as a lower personality. And so obviously The stage in which we find ourselves here, is after a reawakening. He is now oriented towards the soul and sensing his origin on the monadic plane. What must I do? The word must is interesting. Sometimes it's shall. The idea of compulsion is here, and of self-compulsion, the willingness to force oneself to do something. He's kind of looking for what we might say is a command, looking for a command. He asserts, I will return, my power is great, I will destroy all obstacles, nothing can stop my progress to my goal. There is the, as DK says, there is a dynamic of what's called crashing through, which the first ray type possesses. Shall we call them a type? Shall we call them people? DK does talk about fifth ray people as if they were monads, that is, i.e., whose monads are on the fifth ray. So when we use the word people, we don't need not necessarily mean the personality. The old commentary, with so much brevity, expresses the whole sweep of evolution. What must I do? So, this is in the present tense. The answer comes. It's not the answer came, it's the answer comes. There is immediacy. Order from chaos, so pilgrim on the way of death, this is the way from you. Well, very interesting. The seventh ray is the material aspect, or the more formal aspect of the first ray. And we know that seventh ray souls resolve into the first ray soul. So we have here the principle of order, command, regimentation, as it applies to the first ray as well as the seventh, to bring order out of chaos, and do this through an act of the will. Bringing order out of chaos through acts of will. Maybe it's a little bit surprising, but these two rays are, in a way, aspects of each other. They are apparently the highest and the lowest, and yet they are intimately related. When we were studying the seven paths out of the solar system, eventually out of the solar system, we learned that ray one was, or path number one was, of Earth's surface was much related to path seven of absolute sonship. So this is just a reflection of the fact that both of these are rays of will, but one is a ray of will definitely in the concrete world, and does bring spirit into matter for the purpose of grounding the archetype. And ray one, on the other hand, destroys much that is in the way of grounding that particular archetype, and doesn't let anything stand in the way of that willful impression of the archetype. I think maybe ray seven types have more patience than ray one, but they both, DK tells us that the ray one type loves the grand military parades and processions. You know, the principle of order is definitely there, the regimenting. If you look at Aries, a major ray one sign, it's also a major ray seven sign. So the two are thereby related, and only in the sign Capricorn are those two equally related. Although Capricorn will have the third ray, which will bring in more material manipulation. Oh, pilgrim. Now, when the word pilgrim is used, we mean the monad, because monad is always called the divine pilgrim, and the downward and upward progression of the monad over male, probably at the shortest it would be something, you know, over 20 million years, probably 25 million years, maybe on the average, is called a pilgrimage, a monadic pilgrimage. He is the pilgrim on the way of death. We can't say that of the seventh-ray type. The seventh-ray type is more the pilgrim on the way of form creation. So the building aspect is very prominent in the seventh-ray type, and not so much in the first-ray type, especially through Pluto, but through Vulcan, it somewhat is, you know, building strong and steadfast. After having destroyed so much through the assertion of just powerful energy and personal will, there is the realization that some of this second ray must be brought into the ray equipment, and one becomes, under Vulcan, the builder as well as the destroyer. But he is ordinarily the pilgrim on the way of death, because he destroys obstacles, he destroys form, so that the life may not be trammeled, may not be confined or imprisoned. The first ray is always breaking out of prison. This is the way for you. Order from chaos. So look at the chaos, the non-archetypal response within the lower worlds, and create order, not just a regimented order based upon your own personal will, but upon the divine plan, which reflects the divine purpose, and which is implemented by the divine will, to which you should begin to be responding, you, the first ray type. Love, you must learn. Dynamic will, you have. Now, I wonder if we can find, maybe I don't have to look in my own notes. I might be able to go straight to Treatise on Cosmic Fire and First Ray Monad Love and see what we find. The first, not sure we're going to find this, the Ray of the Monad. Aha. Well, this is somewhere in the 600s. Let's see if we can find it. Otherwise, I'll go into my notes. First monad, unloving. Or let's see, unloving? No, we don't find it there. So I will go into my notes and see if I can find this. And here is what I was looking for. It's a quote from Cosmic Fire. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force or by will or power. It is not will as we shall know it in the final system, but it is will as known in this system, and it has to be utilized to the uttermost by the evolving monad in his struggle to control each atomic plane. And see, it is the evolving monad, isn't it? So whatever we think we are always the evolving monad. The monads of power have a much greater struggle, and hence the fact so often apparent that people on what we term the power ray have so often a hard time and are so frequently unlovable. So love you must learn, it tells us in this, and DK emphasizes the same. They have to build on all the six planes the love aspect, which is not prominent in their development. So maybe for this type, The particular chakra in any triangle which represents the love aspect is the slowest to develop. All right. So, love you must learn. And this is from Treatise on Cosmic Fire, TCF 578 and 579. Love you must learn. Dynamic will you have. The will that can move all kinds of inert and immovable states. It can push forward. It can drive things forward. It can set things in motion. We might say this aspect is akin to the prime mover, as it is called, the first mover, as it is called in theology. The right use of destruction for the furtherance of the plan must be the way for you. so we have here the appearance of the destroyers, or what can we call destroying disciples. Because there is so much that requires the second factor coming out of Shambhala. We have purification, then destruction. So, and then organization, of course, and that's more along the seventh ray, third ray line. So these types, people, need to destroy selectively according to their realization of those obstacles to the plan which cannot be transformed or restructured in any other way. They do not lend themselves to restructuring, to purification, to transformation. They simply have to be gotten out of the way, because the law of economy would be violated if one tried to transform them by the low methods. They're so slow methods. They are so unsuitable for purification or for transformation. So they need to be cleared aside. Here the use of Pluto, which is particularly the destroyer, though interestingly also the healer, and Vulcan, both of them, are needed to destroy. Now, some of the destruction, of course, is of the thought forms or the certain ideas which animate form in the lower worlds. They drive form, they condition form, and when these great thought forms, which are embodiments of ideas whose time is no longer with us, have been destroyed, then the forms which have responded to their inner pattern will also disintegrate. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet will release the hidden blessed one and order bring, the order which in his spirit he craves, and the order which will bring the exact following of the will of the planetary logos. The planetary logos has a certain, should we say, has conceived many cycles of expression for the different qualities of energy and force. And the first-ray type, I'll just call them that, you know, has to learn these cycles. They're coming and going, and use all his will to conform to the indications of these cycles. So acting always in rhythm with the divine plan, as that plan expresses itself through cycles. rhythmic cycles. So we have to know what is the divine purpose and how that purpose will unfold in time. Okay, what is the divine purpose and how will that purpose unfold in time according to a plan which takes into consideration according to a plan which is governed by the coming and going, by the ordered coming and going of various cycles, which are planetary, systemic, and even cosmic. So there has to be a study of the entry and abstraction of energies and forces, and a coordination of his action with that entry and abstraction. So the plan demands, or the plan works through an entry and abstraction of energies and forces, ray energies, ray, astrological, etc. And now there's nothing personal in the use of the will by this first ray type. He learns what is the will of Sanatkumara and how in time and space that will is intended to be executed. And with this and with all his own will, he cooperates, he conforms, etc. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet will release the hidden Blessed One and order bring. What will this release be? The release from the three lower worlds and release also from the higher mental plane and the egoic lotus, and thence entry into the triad. In other words, the jewel in the lotus will enter into the spiritual triad and there take up its residence before returning to the monadic plane. So interesting that the salvation here, the release, see, all monads seek release. The spirit cannot abide confinement. Once it realizes that it is confined and that its prerogatives and its potentials and its power are being restricted and cannot express, it demands the destruction of those vehicles which are containing it, imprisoning it, preventing it from expressing its full nature. This is true of any monad, but the first ray types are more violent in breaking out. Just as they destroyed various means by which they might return, including means suggested by others and built by others, so in the return, there is the destruction of those creations which are obstructive, and a flying like an upward arrow, kind of interesting, it's kundalini-like, it's like Pluto, the downward arrow Vulcan and the upward arrow Pluto, flies heavenward with great velocity, destroying the usual barriers and finding itself, contributing to the destruction of the causal body, shattering that causal body, maybe inflaming it as well, making it burst into flame because there's much fire here, although that's usually the sixth ray method, and then anchoring itself within the personality of the monad So the jiva is on its way home. The monad in extension is being retracted. By this time it realizes itself to be the monad in extension. And from there is able to contribute to bringing the will of the logos forward in a rhythmic manner. So let us just try to realize that a great principle of order is found in the first ray. This is how the first ray monad from the monadic plane is working through all of its vehicles until it comes to the realization that a planetary order is needed. So he must become the willing and willful servant of planetary order, which is simply an expression an expression of the will of the planetary logos. So we'll call this expression, which is simply an expression of the will of the planetary logos, which he now serves without hesitation. So let's read this in its form as given, Esoteric Psychology 2, Flies Like an Arrow. All right, we'll read this without interruption then. These are just short little paragraphs, but they contain so much. The Blessed One flies like an arrow into matter. He destroys or ruptures the way by which he might return. He grounds himself deeply in the depths of form. He asserts, I will return. My power is great. I will destroy all obstacles. Nothing can stop my progress to my goal. Around me lies that which I have destroyed. What must I do? What must I do? The answer comes. Order from chaos, O pilgrim, on the way of death. This is the way for you. Love, you must learn. Dynamic will, you have. The right use of destruction for the furtherance of the plan must be the way for you. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet will release the hidden Blessed One and order bring. The order that reflects the divine plan, which reflects the divine purpose of the planetary logos. Okay, just looking it over here, you know, there's always more that one can extract. So much time is covered. This is the complete monadic pilgrimage, or just about the complete monadic pilgrimage here. The indication is towards the steps that must be taken in the last phases of the monadic pilgrimage once there has been a reorientation towards the soul and a visioning of the source, which is the monad. Okay. Notice he doesn't simply say, he asserts, he puts the thought forward, again driving against any obstacle that might try to prevent it. Always obstacles fail when confronted by the power of the first ray monad or the first ray type. There are not so many first ray monads, we are told, only 5 billion, but the question is, how is this being measured? Because the 7 monads on the monadic plane are, in my view, sub-types of the major monadic ray, either 1, 2, or 3. So one can be a monad on any ray and be, let us say, the first subtype, and it would look like the first ray monad, eventually, I believe, to be resolved on the logoic plane into one of the major three types. Okay, now, quite different. Really, the first and second ray are in many ways the pairs of opposites. I'll just read it here and then I'll go into the analysis of it. Ray 2, and I call it the Ray 2 monad, the Blessed One built him an ark. Stage by stage he built it and floated upon the bosom of the waters. Deeply he hid himself, and his light was no more seen, only his floating ark. His voice was heard, I have built and strongly built, but am a prisoner within my building. My light is hidden, only my word goes forth. Around me lie the waters. Can I return from whence I came? Is the word strong enough to open wide the door? What shall I do? The answer came. Build now an ark translucent which can reveal the light, O builder of the ark, and by that light you shall reveal the lighted way, the power to build anew, the right use of the word, and the using of the light. These will release the Blessed One deep hidden in the ark. And notice how they all want to return. They all reorient themselves at a certain point and realize that they are far from their source. So that is the thing that they all, the attitude they all share in common, but of course the methods of descent and the methods of return are very different. We might say that the monad built him an ark. He began building his vehicles in this way. He began building his vehicles, and in the outer, well, in one respect, the causal body is itself an ark. An ark is a protective boat. It saves. It preserves. An ark saves the seeds of life. It preserves those those who otherwise might be destroyed. We're thinking of Noah's Ark and the polarities that were brought into Noah's Ark because of the flood. They had to find land on which they could live because much of the known world had been destroyed by the will of the planetary logos, inasmuch as there was such a deviation from the plan in the Atlantean sorcerers, the Atlantean giants. So this is the process of involution, really. The involution of the first ray type is extremely willful, and it's a driving into matter. This is different. This is a magnetization of matter, matter which now surrounds the what we can call maybe the seed of spirit, or the monad. So he attracts his vehicles, we might say, and other structures through which he can express not only his vehicles, but he builds in the outer world. The Ray 2 is the form-building ray. Notice it's not done all at once. It's done gradually, carefully, slowly, stage by stage. Slowly and stage by stage, the magnetism works to attract the surrounding and imprisoning vehicles. And he floated upon the bosom of the waters, and the waters are matter itself. So in his it's almost like his causal body, you know, and all of his vehicles, he, in his vehicles, lives within the ocean of matter, protected from it, as it were, by what has been built. So his essential life is much surrounded by substance. And his within that surrounding, and maybe out of innate sensitivity, he hides himself. Deeply he hid himself, and his light, the light of the monad, cannot be seen through his buildings or through his constructions. And you kind of wonder when you look at all these vehicles, what is really within? What is within? Who is the life within all that has been accumulated? There is a dense opacity here through which one cannot see. And we do notice the tendency of Ray Two types as it said, shelter themselves and others. So to guard and protect through barriers of form which keep the enemy from penetrating. But although the enemy is kept out, the true life is also imprisoned within. So he hides himself in form. He attracts form around himself magnetically. He attracts form around himself magnetically and becomes imprisoned by that which he has attracted. And so there he is in the waters of space and the matters of space, and he can't get out. And he's prevented from returning to his source by all of his accumulations, magnetically and firmly set in place by his own power of magnetism. So his power of magnetism has made him a prisoner. A prisoner. What can he do? Well, then his voice was heard, but only his voice. Notice this represents the third aspect of divinity. He has attached himself to the third aspect of divinity and is not yet displaying the second aspect of divinity, which is inherently his. I have built and strongly built. This is Jupiter, this is Vulcan in its positive aspect, all the magnetic planets, we might say, the moon symbolically, and around his life, he has built impenetrable vehicles. Others can't get in, and he cannot get out. So this great saving ark floating upon the bosom of the waters has turned into a floating prison, in a way. I have built and strongly built, but am a prisoner within my building. The light of the secondary type is very great, but it's hidden by form. It's hidden. So this bright, inherent light of the second ray monad is hidden by a density and opacity of form. And only my word goes forth. In other words, I can only work through the third aspect, and not through the second. I cannot be a light bearer. I can speak, because the third aspect of divinity is older. In a way, it's less vulnerable. It's not as easily thwarted. So his throat center is working, but maybe his light-bearing heart center and ajna center are not working. They are not strong enough. Around me lie the waters. We might say, around me lie all grades of matter. But these are not my home. Can I return from whence I came? This is the homing instinct of the monad, we can call it. The homing instinct of the monad. It will always seek, like a boomerang, to return to its origin, and the monad in extension wants to be reabsorbed as the monad in entirety upon the monadic plane. Of course, there are other absorptions because the monad continues to move onward. Every great, there's only the one being, and it's moving onward in many forms. In other words, it's retracting its extensions, its emanations. The homing instinct of the monad, the retraction of its extensions. Is the word strong enough to open wide the door to my home? In other words, are my thoughts and verbal creations, my expression of ideas in vocal form, will these bring me home? What shall I do? So always we reach the point when we want to go home, but we don't know how. And who's telling us how? That's the point. Who's telling? You know, the word came, the answer came, the answer comes. From whence the answer? We say, from whence the answer? And it is the part of the monad which, as it were, stayed at home, which gives the answer. How to return to oneself. How to return to oneself. How to find one's origin. That is what we have. So is the word strong enough to open wide the door? And this is also, let's just say, the door of the various initiations which allow the monad in extension to rise and be retracted into its self of origin. What shall I do? The answer came, and the answer came, from the monadic plane. Of course, the soul consciousness, which is really an extension of monadic consciousness, aided and supported by the infusing consciousness of the solar angel, can also help with this advice. So the answer is all about building, and this is the form building ray. Build now an arc translucent, which can reveal the light. In other words, refine your vehicles and enrich the causal body, and organize your triadal fields. We read about the coordination of the Buddhic vehicle, and it doesn't really, although once it seemed to say that we could begin coordinating that after the second degree, it's really after the third degree with the ongoing attention to buddhi that it is coordinated. So build now, let these vehicles be refined enough to let the light pass through, right? So let your vehicles be sufficiently refined to allow the light which is in your nature to pass through, and to allow other sources of light to pass through them. You know, the master, the teacher, and all the rest. I mean, it's possible to be so, it is possible to be so protectively enclosed within your own vehicles as to be opaque and not to allow light transmission in or out. Now notice we are now dealing with light and not with sound. The sound or word was preserved before seeing this ray type could at least hear and speak. So build now an arc translucent which can reveal the light within you, O builder of the arc. Interesting, you know, the second ray builder and how they are always interested in construction rather than destruction. And by that light, which is coming from within your nature, you shall reveal the lighted way. Let's see, this is, it is a service, and the lighted way, is revealed for others and also for oneself. Because we do have the, we have within the power of the orienting light. We have within us a kind of light which knows the way home. So, he didn't say build now an arc transparent, although that will probably come too, so that this ray type can be seen through and through. He is recognized as the monad by those who have eyes to see. He can be first recognized as the soul giving light. It is the soul vehicle, is after all the expression of the monad. But eventually, if there's the transparency to the vehicles, I'm speaking here in symbols, then one can see pure being through the vehicles because they have become transparent. It's we can still keep our color, as it were, when we're talking about translucence, so we can still work in the realm of quality. But when we're working in the realm of transparency, the colors have to go, and we've entered the realm of being and pure spirit and synthesis. So always these stanzas offer the way to complete that, the method of completing monadic return, we might say. So what is the method of completing monadic return? The power to build anew, and not with dark and opaque materials, but with lighted, translucent materials, and building within the outlines or the well, blueprint, it's old-fashioned, but a blueprint of the archetypal pattern. This is needed. So it's a new kind of building, a new effort to build, and a new approach to building, and a new building which is the result So this is really, this is rebuilding. The power to build anew. Now, notice that the word was not capitalized in the beginning. Is my word strong enough to open wide the door? This is not the word of the soul. Is the word. It's more a personal word. It is not the directing, guiding, divine word. Okay, so now we have a different kind of word altogether. This is the right use of the word, and we might say of the soul, which is a wise word of the second aspect, as it represents the first aspect of divinity. So when, see, using the word correctly, using the word correctly, there will be a proper building, because the word is a builder. And it makes a construction. It creates a structure which is resonant with that part of the plan and purpose, P-R-P, oh, purpose, which is inherent in the unit, man. All right, so it's not just any old word, because any old word would regather all kinds of materials which were opaque. And I just want to put that down. So any old word would regather opaque, Q-U-E, building materials, and not the translucent materials which must be built into the vehicles. And of course, the refining of the vehicles goes on from within. So one gathers new materials from without and refines old materials and even the new ones, so they become even more translucent. So the power to build a new pattern in your vehicles of expression and in the world, because the vehicles of expression, the inner being through the vehicles of expression also demands outer forms to be used. The right use of the word and the using of the light, should we say, both within the world and within oneself, throwing light upon the path of others and upon one's own path, because inwardly one has the light to do this. So now we are working in light instead of just in sound. So the second ray, you know, the sound also is a building power, and the throat center can be used as a form builder, but it has to be used wisely as a form builder, because the building is occurring in the light. One becomes a builder in the light, or as we say, you know, from the arcane school degree, weaver in the light. We all know what it's like to weave out of the light. You make a mess, and this is one of the stories of the law of repulse of the third ray, and also of the technique of integration for the third ray. It's a weaving outside the light, and you can't know what the plan is. But now the using of the light is a building in the light. And if we do this, the power to build anew, the right use of the word, and the using of the light, these will release the Blessed One, who is deep hidden in the ark, which he has built. And he will return to his monadic vehicle and will see the way ahead so he can do this. And he will be a light bearer. He will be a light bearer for others. And he will see the way forward himself. So his solution is given. And when he has all of these pieces of advice, all of these pieces of advice are given when the monad is in sight. There is the realization that the source is beckoning and that the monad in extension must return. This is different from uniting with the soul, which is, in a way, the heart center of the monad. It's different from entering the world of unity and correct magnetism and love and all of that. It's very important. But this is all about the homing instinct and the methods of fulfilling the homing instinct. That's what these stanzas are about. Methods of fulfilling the, let's call it divine homing instinct. When you use the word divine, you generally mean the monad. When you use the spiritual word spiritual, you can mean the soul or the spiritual triad. So let's now read this without interruption, and we will see what it says to us. And, you know, as we do this, of course, the study of these stanzas is meant to give you an idea of your own method of homing, coming home. The Blessed One built him an ark. Stage by stage he built it and floated upon the bosom of the waters. Deeply he hid himself, and his light was no more seen, only his floating ark. His voice was heard. I have built and strongly built, but am a prisoner within my building. My light is hidden. Only my word goes forth. Around me lie the waters. Can I return from whence I came? Is the word strong enough to open wide the door? What shall I do? The answer came, build now an ark translucent, which can reveal the light, O builder of the ark, and by that light you shall reveal the lighted way. The power to build anew, the right use of the word, and the using of the light, these will release the Blessed One deep hidden in the ark. And you know, you think about this, the causal bodies are in all different conditions, and you wonder whether it's possible to build a causal body which has all of these colors of a very refined kind, and through which the light of the jewel and the lotus, which is actually the monad as the central fire in the egoic lotus, through which that jewel and the lotus shines. Well, you know, what is your monadic ray? Does this give you a hint? And how do you discriminate it from your soul ray? All right, friends, so this will be the end of Blessed One's webinar commentary number 4, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 36. And beginning of Blessed One's webinar commentary 5, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 37. These are very practical, valuable for those who are in search of their source. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.